really a health check for the economy.
We're living in volatile times right now.
Is the cash trade dead?
Asset managers need to be more tactical.
Today is Wednesday, January 28th, 2026, and this is The Bash. Welcome to The Bash, where we bring the analyst and planner to the table to discuss relevant financial and investment topics. We're going to have 60 seconds to discuss each topic. Scott, my man, the analyst, before we get started, it's freezing cold outside. Give me something good to look forward to in the next month or two while we get out of this snowy situation.
We work inside, so we have heat, so it doesn't really affect us as much as it does all those hard workers outside.
Come on in! The water's great!
I don't mind the cold, but over the next month, there's a lot of headlines out there right now. So let's jump into it and begin.
We've got a lot to cover, and time is short.
Wow. All right, I thought you were going to ask me, what am I doing, which is obviously playing padel. But yes, we'll jump right into the headlines, Scott. Get right down to business. We're now in 2026. Markets are being shaped by a wide range of economic, social, and corporate dynamics. Which factors are you paying closest attention to this year?
No doubt. As we're heading into 2026, there is a lot of headline factors out there. And instead of focusing on just one or two, I'm focusing on several right now. I'm focusing on the ones that I believe move the markets over the long term as well. And the number one is earnings and earnings growth and how earnings growth can possibly continue in possibly a higher rate for longer environment. I'm watching corporate balance sheets. I'm watching their income statements. I'm looking for stability. As we move into this market, I believe asset managers need to be more selective. They can't just look at companies that did well in a zero rate environment for the last regime of 10 to 15 years. We're now moving into an era where asset managers need to be more tactical. They need to be more surgical in their approach to analyzing balance sheets as well.
Like a surgeon.
They need to be able to determine whether a company's ability to pay dividends, execute on buybacks, all of these are variables I think fundamentally move the markets long term. In the short term, the headlines of geopolitical concerns, everything happening right now domestically in the news, these headlines are very emotional and they move the markets in the short term. Matt, what are your thoughts?
Scott, great stuff. Talk about earnings. I actually, you know, I want to focus on the economy. And I was even surprised when I looked at gross domestic product over 2025 and upcoming projections. So when we think about GDP, it's really a health check for the economy, showing how much is producing, earning, and spending. And growth is signaling a stronger economy when you see those percentages going higher. So of course, let's move to the chart here. And when we zoom in here and we look at what's going on, when you look at the second quarter of 2025, we're at 3.8%. Quarter three, we moved up to 4.4%, and we're even projecting up to 5.4% for quarter number four for 2025. So Scott, when you're talking about earnings, I'm actually saying, you know what, the economy is actually supporting, and think about the biggest contributors to GDP, and that's consumer spending. We are still spending on services in America. And another touchy subject, I guess we could say, is capital expenditures, this AI infrastructure that's being built across the country. That is helping with growth of GDP, but as you, the analyst, may want to focus on, is that actually going to help with earnings in the future? So overall, I'm going to see if the economy continues to grow at this clip in 2026.
I would agree with that. Maybe a broadening out too to other areas that are going to matter and help deliver earnings growth. And let's stick with the headlines right now, because when you and I talk and when we talk to our clients, we often hear about the allocation of assets overseas and potentially the outflow of assets that are in domestic equities here at home. Whether investors are buying international metals or other asset classes, we are starting to see that diversification to other asset classes. Matt, how would you respond to that?
Scott, Right now, it's very, we always talk about volatility. It seems volatile just with the tone right now. We even hear some things on the news about sell America.
Do you sell America on Fed independence risks?
The sell America trade.
This negative connotation. And we don't get too political here. We never do. And we obviously have situations maybe with Greenland or the Fed situation or issues that we have with foreign countries. But I want to say it's more of not sell America, but maybe a rotation. And this has already been happening since 2025. So, of course, Scott, let's go to the charts. And when you look at this chart right here in 2025, you can see Europe had an amazing performance, 35.4% rate of return. International emerging, 33.7, 31.3% for international developed. And the United States, it's a great return, Scott, 17.9%. So even with the great return of the S&P in 2025, you can still see an outperformance. And that trend has continued. As of yesterday's close, did you know international developed is up 10% while the U.S. is up 2%? So I'm still saying that there's a rotation. I never bet against the resilience of the U.S. stock market, but it's okay to be diversified. And we're seeing that right now with the rotation into investments outside the United States. How about you, Scott?
Well, you're right. It's a rotation. It's a rebalancing. It's diversification. It's long-term investors that are beginning to hedge away from a dominance that occurred here in the U.S. in terms of our equity markets for the most recent past of 10, 15 years. And that dominance has shown investors substantial returns. And the way that they're responding right now is not a sell America. It is a rebalancing and a rotation, diversifying their assets to foreign-held assets, areas that are beginning to outperform as well, not just over the last month, but really also over the last year to year and a half. What investors are starting to see is that being focused or concentrated in one area of the market, one area of the world, is not diversification. So I do believe that with the recent outflows that we've seen in some of the largest economies in the world, like the U.S., like China, what we're seeing is a rotation. It's not a sell-off. It is not a flight to quality.
So what is it then?
But it is a risk-off. And we're seeing that with flows going into metals, flows coming out of the dollar, out of treasuries. This is a risk-off trade centered around investors looking to diversify, reduce risks that they're clearly seeing on the table right now.
Scott, great stuff there. I like I even brought in what's going on with metals. And I want to move to another topic that's really hot right now. And it's a strategy that we know a lot of advisors and investors have been taking advantage of the past 2 years. Cash investments, such as money markets, CDs, and treasuries, they've offered nice yields, but that has changed recently. Is the cash trade dead?
Matt, cash management is a part of every comprehensive financial plan. There is no such thing, in my opinion, as a cash trade. Investors out there are trying to maximize yield and preserve their principal. Right now, investors need to be more nimble. They were able to buy I-bonds in 2022 and get high single-digit yields. T-bills for the last couple of years and get in the low fours, now the low threes. And now we're in an environment where investors need to further diversify their cash management and their surplus above their short-term needs by buying other areas like corporate bonds, shorter duration high yield, preferred equity, convertible bonds, bank loans, senior notes.
And the list goes on. And the list goes on.
These are areas of opportunity for investors as we move forward to maximize that yield while also working to preserve principal.
Okay, Scott, good breakdown as a trade. And on my end, I'm going to say mainly yes, the cash trade is dead. And I say mainly because I believe that there are some short-term situations or you have a really risk-averse client that they need to be able to sleep at night. And we're not talking about emergency fund where you want to have that money saved and there when needed. But when I say as a trade, as an investment, why do I think it's mainly dead? Let's go to the chart again, Scott. And when you look at this federal fund rates chart here and you look at its projection, you can see that, look, in the 2010, almost the 2017, we were near the bottom. And that's where you were almost forced to invest outside of those short-term type strategies. And then we got that bump that we just mentioned in our question in 2024. But you see where this chart is headed. We know that the president is pushing to lower rates. We know that we're going to have a new chairman coming in and getting that, let's call it almost guaranteed return of 3-4%. It's most likely trending down. So overall, that's why I say the cash trade is dead. And there's a strong relationship. You got to think about this between the Fed rate and cash equivalents, such as money markets. This means they will most likely continue to go lower as well. Scott, that's what I got for you, bud.
I like it, Matt. And usually when we're doing these shows, we like to finish on a note where we're having a little bit of fun with that fourth question. This one I know is a little bit deeper. So we're living in volatile times right now. I'm interested to find out about your thoughts on how you handle volatile times and what you do about it.
Scott, yes. The headlines are everywhere. We always are talking about headlines when we talk about the markets, but with clients in particular, especially this past year or so, you can feel the emotion and the uncertainty. And as looking at this from a financial planning perspective, I like to turn to what we can control as the client and the advisor relationship. And as we talk about news, we know it travels faster than good news. Every market cycle feels different in the moment, but we point out no one can consistently predict markets correctly. But when we have financial plans, we understand they're built to assume uncertainty. A well-constructed plan already accounts for market declines, recessions, and volatility. So I ask the question, what's the market going to do next? No, I ask instead, does my plan still work?
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
That's what we're bringing up in our meetings, and that's the focus of what we can control and how we can prepare for those situations that come up that are unexpected. Scott, what do you see?
I love this question. We do live in volatile times, and sometimes the headlines makes the world feel heavier than it is. I personally believe in three things. I believe in people, I believe in patience, and I believe in perspective. And when it comes to people, no matter what generation you speak to, every generation believes they are living through the most uncertain of times. Yet when you zoom out and look at the long arc, you can see how every generation created more and more advancements to the extent that today we have technological advancements never thought or heard of. We have healthcare advancements, education advancements. And to me, it does go back to people as well. Taking a moment to slow down, enjoy the time that we have with our friends, families, my colleagues here at Bash Capital, and our clients. It's about having perspective on the long term and what matters. And again, patience.
Scott, that was beautiful. Usually we wrap up with a little bit of a summary. I don't think anything else needs to be said. So let's move forward. And as we always tell our investors, our friends, don't forget to stay focused, stay disciplined, and stay tuned for the next episode of The Bash.